begins now. And it begins with Matt LaFleur saying the same thing I did. I want to be wrong. I do. I want to be wrong on Christian Watson. I want him back sooner rather than later. I think there are different offense with him. It would mean that he's made great progress on the ACL, that he's healed quickly, that he's putting himself in position to still get a good contract, whether it's from the Packers or someone else, despite coming off of an ACL. I want to be wrong. I still think it's going to be November when he's back, even with the optimism. But if he's back late October, love it. If he somehow avoids the PUP list, even better. But I find it hard to believe that this medical staff would be aggressive in that manner, even for a player with who has reasons to want to be aggressive. Nevertheless, I did sneak in a question about him at the end of the press conference after the two-question warning. Matt LaFleur tells us he's not a doctor. Here he is on Christian Watson.
Christian's doing outstanding. I would say he's ahead of schedule. But again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not medical staff, so we'll see where he's at. But I don't really anticipate anything too long-term with any of these guys.
So there are a lot of guys that were not practicing yesterday. Kenny Clark wasn't taking part. The Little Rocket, Marshawn Lloyd, who I may have created some buzz about by writing about him. He didn't practice. But again, I don't think there's any major concern there. Matt LaFleur just said that. Quay Walker was riding a stationary bike next to us as we were standing watching practice. None of those guys are believed to have long-term issues. Christian Watson is the one guy coming back from a significant injury.
Is he doing like a circuit, or is he just kind of steady Eddie on that bike?
No. Great question. Yeah, it's one of those that's got like the big wheel that's like a fan.
Yeah.
And it's also got the arm things. And their trainer, their strength and conditioning guy, I think it was Aaron Hill that was there, was doing a count. So like you go at kind of a steady but leisurely, like you on an e-bike kind of a speed.
Okay.
And then he would count down 3, 2, 1, and then you had to hammer it. And all so right. Then Quay would for I think 30 seconds, and then he'd go 3, 2, 1, and then he would stop the hard pedaling and go back to the steady, consistent pedaling. So I don't think that he's in a position to be holding in and only riding a bike because he doesn't have a long-term deal, but I suppose I have to at least allow for that possibility.
I suppose. I like that. That's rare coming from you. I suppose
I have to allow for that possibility that he doesn't have a long-term deal and he's playing on the fourth year of his contract because he didn't even get the fifth-year option.
You're not saying that. I just want to make sure.
I'm not saying that. I'm acknowledging
the
possibility.
And you're not saying that you're not saying it.
No, I'm not doing the Jesse Nelson, we should be talking about firing Pat Murphy thing. No, I'm not doing that.
Never said that.
I'm not even. God, that haircut looks great, by the way. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is I should probably not be dismissive of the possibility that maybe there's something there, but I don't think so. I don't think he's in position to do that.
Skepticism in journalism. I like that.
Well,
all right, good.
We're supposed to do that. And we're going to get to...
I'm well aware.
We're going to get to... We're going to get to the skepticism because I still am going to maintain... well, we'll get to it next. Let's talk about Christian Watson first because I'm getting ahead of myself again. If Christian Watson is able to come back sooner, how big of a bonus is that? Right? Because that is a bonus. Not even Matt LaFleur, after the injury on January 5th, was thinking, oh, well, hey, we'll have him, mid-season. We'll have him in mid-October. No. He was not thinking that. I can tell you he wasn't thinking that. And now there's hope. How much would that be a boost for this team if they actually did get Christian Watson back sooner rather than later, as Matt Carney sings at the stop at the start of our 10 o'clock hours?
I think he, you know, I have been his one of his biggest fans. He's my Dontayvion Wicks. He adds a level. Now, the question is Matthew Golden going to be that guy that maybe we all hoped Watson would be, that speed burner, you know, down the field? We'll find out what that looks like, but your team is going to be better with Christian Watson on it, especially if he's healthy. If he did come back early, it would be limited in as far as what you're going to ask him to do. You're not going to throw him out there for 70 snaps. And now with this new group, I think you really need to kind of find your role, and then hopefully a couple guys emerge and it becomes really difficult to get them off the field. He is a difference maker when he's healthy. He forces defenses to play it a little bit differently because of his speed. That's what you'd be getting, I think, especially if it is October or early November.
And is
that would be what I think the biggest thing.
Is that in any way a concern that getting him back early is going to be make it more difficult for him to be able to be that guy? You know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
I do.
I don't get caught up in all that. And they're not going to put him out there if he can't play. He's
yep,
not going to be out there if he can't play. So if he's out there, it's because the rehab has went well and he's available to the team. I never understand other people's skepticism about other people's careers. It's like, you're making those decisions. You can be skeptical and all this stuff, but am I going to lose any sleep? I'm not. And I would recommend you not losing any sleep either. I think Christian Watson's going to push to get out there and find a way to make, because the problem is he will start feeling pressure. And what I don't want to have happen is you feel that where Matthew Golden has a couple good days and on Channel 3000, oh my God, Matthew Golden is the next, but he is what Christian Watson would have been if he stayed healthy. And he reads that and his dad starts tweeting about it. And all of a sudden he's like, I got to get out on the field, man. I'm not losing my spot. Oh, Savion Williams is doing a lot of the jet sweep stuff. Oh, these guys, oh, everybody's kind of finding their role. And then Christian Watson's sitting there like, oh God. And in fairness, that's, I think, for me, and I can only go off of my experience when I blew my knee out and the Packers didn't bring me back.
Right.
I specifically said, I'm getting the hell out of here. I don't want to read and hear and see people. I ended up going out west for 2 or 3 weeks just so I could train and do my thing and not have to deal. And that is in an era where none of this, it's not anywhere magnified to the same degree. I wasn't even on the team. So imagine
right.
Watson being there doing right. the bike riding, doing this, and he's got Wildes and Domofsky's coming up and saying, boy, Golden looks really good, doesn't he? Well, it's going to be, and I've always told you this, the physical part of the rehab is cake in comparison to the mental. And that mental part for Christian is going to be a bear. So I think it seems as if, and I could not have been more impressed with how he handled himself last year with everything. He seems to be grounded and in a really good spot, and I just hope he understands what's coming so that he can adjust and handle it in a good way, because I don't want him. It's going to be inevitable. Things are going to go through your mind. You're going to be reminded of it. You're going to be at the grocery store, and they're going to say, oh, my God, I saw so-and-so on that WBAY show talking about how great Golden is and how many reps he's getting. And you just, well, I'm just telling you how it is, and you know it is.
I know it is.
And the mental part of this is really hard to deal with when you're already in a fragile state of mind about your own career, your own contract, and your own livelihood, and then you have everybody else talking. It isn't good for you mentally. That's my point.
No, you've been through it. I remember that season. I remember them thinking that Alan Barber was going to be able to replace you. Luckily, they were wrong. Luckily, you were still available. Luckily, you played really well for them. I'm not denying anything you said. I am going to try very hard to prove you wrong and not say those types of things to put extra pressure on Christian Watson, because there is nothing about Christian Watson that I don't like. Like, the component of, and again, his dad, I want to be very clear, his dad can do whatever he wants as a dad, right? It's his Twitter, it's his son. If he wants to say things, he can say them. I respect the fact that Christian Watson doesn't allow that influence to lead for him to talk in some of the same terms and say some of the things. Like, he was the one guy that was genuinely and publicly supportive of Romeo Doubs, which was not a popular opinion, because there were a lot of guys in that locker room that were really pissed off at him. And Christian Watson stood up for him. Christian Watson, when he was not getting targets, was not belly aching. And from the conversations I had about with other people about him, they said that was authentic. That was not, I'm going to tell the media I'm not complaining, but behind the scenes I am complaining. Because I wanted to know, am I getting duped on this? I wasn't. So I like everything about him. I hope he doesn't put that pressure on himself. But he is in a very tricky spot. I mean, is there a worse time to be coming off of an ACL than going into a contract year? I suppose the only worse time is tearing it during the contract year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think...
I hope he doesn't rush.
I hope, yeah, for Christian, I'll echo a lot of the same things. I just, you have to respect how he's approached this, how he approached last season, how he battled back to play in a game that he probably should not have. I think he's done all the right things off the field. And it's guys like that you root for. And typically I root for O-linemen, and I'm always rooting for players. But in this case, I'm really rooting for Christian Watson. I would love to see him get back early and have a really good, impactful season. And I think it'll help the team, obviously, a ton, too, if he can do that.
I want you to hear some of the things that Jaden Reed had to say yesterday, because he knew the questions were coming about his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, inquiring about his role on his behalf. Maybe not. Plausible deniability for the player. What is undeniable is your love and passion for your Coors Light.
Say goodbye.
Say goodbye.
What a run. Hey, what a run. I'm going to have a Coors Light just for this sheet. Coors Light.
Don't pour one out.
Step cold process.
Pour one in.
Cold lagered. Cold filtered and cold packaged, so it is made to chill in those mountains. Oh, they are blue. That's when you know Coors Light is chilled to perfection. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And with that, we say adieu.
You euthanized the sheets.
It was time.
What a run.
What a run. I will look. Guess what date this sheet was given to me?
Pre-COVID.
June 2019.
No.
Earlier?
April of
21. Wow.
Now
Before I was married.
We did some addendums. We obviously did some ad-libbing. But this sheet, every day it showed up for me. Every day. And I respect that.
That sheet's been through a lot.
And now it is time to go.
Saw the Bucks win a title.
Kudos to you, yes. And is it a coincidence that since they made that switch, they haven't won jack? I don't know. Maybe.
Coors Light needs sheets.
I know this. When the mountains were blue down at Fiserv, our fans weren't blue. Our fans were giddy. That I know. That I know. Yeah.
Coors Light read sheet. We Good thank run. You for your service.
Aaron Rodgers was an MVP.
Meanwhile.
Man, you're getting me a little bit choked up here.
Lorenzo Cain was in center field, I think.
Robbing home runs. You know what, though? What's great is that you had that sheet there. Even though you could talk about Coors Light and ad lib anytime you wanted, I don't have a sheet when it comes to Grubel offices, but I can still tell you, one call, that's all. How can you forget that? It's like the Blue Mountains. One call, that's all. That's Grubel offices, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, or go to the website, gruber-law.com. If you have been injured, or maybe you're just feeling your feelings about your sheet of paper that you had to say goodbye to, whatever it may be.
What should I do? Should I just throw it out or burn it, or what do I do with it?
Well, you could burn it and spread its ashes across your desk or something.
You know what? I might be heading back out towards Golden, Colorado this summer. Maybe.
Oh, that would be a proper burial.
You're gonna take a little jar of your sheet.
An aluminum 16-ounce can.
That's not a bad idea.
Yep.
Gruber-law.com is the website, gruber-law.com. We will hear from Jaden Reed next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Get to Jaden Reed. Spent some time talking about him this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But I want to ask this first, because I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm curious what Tausch thinks. Tausch, is there anything wrong with wanting clarity on your role on the team and asking either yourself or your agent asking on your behalf? Is there something inherently wrong with doing that?
No, I think the issue I had when this all kind of came to light was the timing of it and the public, just the publicity of it. And I heard what Jaden had to say yesterday. I think, you know, a lot of times stuff gets leaked out that you don't necessarily want. Trust me. Had everything been leaked from the wide receiver room from 2007 to 2011, you would not – it would just be different how you perceived things, because there was more stuff that went on. And you know what? That happens. It should happen. We don't mind that. Just keep it in-house. Mm-hmm. I think I told you, and I believe I – because David Bakhtiari hit it on the head, and I knew he hit it on the head at the time – I believe I asked Jesse to do a David Bakhtiari impersonation.
You did. You did. It was better than Bradshaw.
He refused to do it. I think he ended up, I don't exactly know how that all shook itself out, but how he laid it out on Twitter was exactly how it was laid out. And I don't have a problem with Jaden Reed wanting that. I have a problem if Jaden Reed is pouting and being a baby about it.
Uh-huh.
And by all accounts, he's not. It came across, and this is where perception becomes reality. You have those things come up and you see that, and that's why Jaden Reed was very adamant about explaining himself. Now, do I think he was upset after Matthew Golden got drafted first? Yes. And I believe I gave the old Eleanor Tauscher quote.
Yeah.
Feel your feelings.
Uh-huh.
Right. No problem with all of that.
Uh-huh.
But then it's how you react. It's, you know... Sports is what it is. You always, it's about how you react to the negativity and the, you know, getting knocked down. Nobody will remember that Jaden Reed had Drew Rosenhaus talk to Russ Ball and Brian Gutekunst if he goes out and has a 85 catch, 1,200 yard season. They're going to say, man, we're happy to have Jaden Reed. He's going to be a great pairing with Matthew Golden in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the goal should always be. And the perception of what happened and how it was, and again, understanding the landscape of how things work in the NFL Twitterverse and media, I think Jaden Reed probably feels a little bit snake bitten and wants to just move it along. And mm-hmm. that is exactly what he should be doing.
So he clearly knew what was coming. And frankly, again, he could have been – we weren't in the locker room yesterday. It wasn't like we all converged on his locker while he was changing and he had nowhere to go. He agreed to come and talk because he wanted to get this cleared up. And he had his things that he wanted to talk about. Now – I do think this. I do think some of the things he said, including, I don't know how it got out there, were he's trying to control and trying to not necessarily put the genie back in the bottle, but certainly damage control a little bit. And look, his agent's job, correct me if I'm wrong, is to take shrapnel for his clients sometimes too, right? Mm. Be the bad guy. And so if there is a perception that Jaden Reed was concerned about his role because of the draft, it is Drew Rosenhaus's job to be the bad guy and take that and say, well, you know, it's me and whatever. Now, I do want to be clear on this. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't believe that Drew Rosenhaus was the source of this story to Adam Schefter. And as David Bakhtiari pointed out, him putting it out there to Schefter was meant as, in some ways, advertising. Hey, look how I go to bat for my guy. I went to the team. He hired me, and I went right to the team and said, I want reassurance that he's going to still be the number one receiver. And I got it. I don't think he knew the way it was going to be perceived by other people. I think he miscalculated that. Drew Rosenhaus did. And then that left his client to have to deal with it a little bit yesterday. Here is how Jaden Reed dealt with it.
A lot of people misinterpreted that. Like, I hired a new agent, and we talked about it before even the draft, really, that, you know, he said that he was going to talk to, you know, the front office and everybody here to, you know, just catch up and make sure everybody on the same page. And as a new client, you know, he told me that's what he was going to do, and he did it. So now I don't know how I got out, because it was supposed to be confidential, but that's how it goes sometimes. Yeah, you know, people get a different perception, and, you know, they make their own perception, which is okay. But that's how it goes sometimes. So
no, you know how it got out. That's the only nitpicking I'll do there. You know. Tausch, you said you had heard that already. I do think that it's totally reasonable to want to know, how exactly do you view my role here? Because he is in a pivotal season too.
Yeah, here's the deal. I think we always tell people, you know, when there's conflict and when there's stuff bubbling underneath, what do you always say to your wife, or do you say to your friends? It's like, don't just hide it under the rug.
Let's talk about
communicate.
It.
Communicate. Yeah. Have some communication and get an idea of where that person is coming from. Doesn't mean you have to agree or say, oh, yeah, you're 100% right, but you just feel better about it, and it clears the air, and you can go about your business. And it's not always fun to do, but you have that conversation, and you go about it. I think Jaden Reed handled this well.
Totally agree.
I think the fact that it leaked and it made him kind of look, you know, a little insecure about where he's at, that happens too. Mm. And it's about how you respond to it. And I thought how he handled it, you could tell he was defensive, and he's a little irritated about it. But it's now a nothing burger. And when you don't address those things and it sits there and then that perception continues to build, and you have people saying, well, this is what happened. Now you have straight from the horse's mouth. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we had this conversation. Anytime someone is drafted, you want to get – there's no assurances. I don't know who used that word, assurances. There aren't no assurances. It's – you just want some clarity.
True Rosenhaus did.
The clarity is you better go play well, and if you do, you're going to be fine. If you don't, yeah. Hey, welcome – to the big leagues. This is how it plays. And I think Jaden Reed can say all that he wants to say and do all this stuff. It's going to come back to just go out and play good football. You do that, everything else is going to play out exactly the way you want. If you don't, you let this affect you mentally. And affect, a lot of times it's just, let's get this out of my head and let's move on. Because I don't care what they say. They drafted a guy number one, 23 to be number one. Doesn't mean that's how it's going to shake out.
Mm-hmm.
That story is still Natasha Bedingfielded, as far as I'm concerned.
The rest is still unwritten. I am not going to hold you to this. This is not a binding prediction on Thursday, May 29th, the year of our Lord, 2025. Does Jaden Reed get a second contract from the Green Bay Packers? Yes, sir.
Yes.
See, I think so, too. Ultimately, I think so, too.
I think he's a good compliment to Golden. I think he has been the most, and again, he did not have the springboard year, but he didn't stink last year.
Totally agree.
It just, the deal is, we anticipated him, hey, here's our next Jordy, here's our next Randall Cobb, here's our next Devontae, and again, we forget, people were calling for Devontae to be cut in his second year. This stuff takes some time. Not everybody comes into the league and does a Justin Jefferson, or there is some growth that goes. Jaden Reed, I do believe, will be it. Again, then the money will come into play, and if he's a one or a two and how that is viewed. But I think they like Jaden Reed. I think they know his skill set, and I think they like his approach. And I would bet that Jaden Reed, of all the wideouts, I would say he'd be the most, if I had to put a wager on it, that's who I would pick down at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford of who gets their extension at in that room first.
Before I tell you about Associated Bank again, Chris in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments, and I know you don't think I've been doing this, but I actually do have a file on my computer because I think the Wilde and Tausch Hall of Fame should open on our 10th anniversary of as a show, and we're coming up on our 9th anniversary, which also gives me a year to work on all these things and find a brick-and-mortar location. I think Chris hit it. Be careful with that sheet. Chris says, that sheet needs to go in the Wilde and Tausch Hall of Fame. And he's right.
Really?
I think that's
one of the lost relics of the show.
We need to have those, right, exactly. Those relics.
I had not thought of that.
What else would go in there?
Interesting. Well, this binder is probably 8 years old.
Okay. We want it to be stuff that people are interested in.
One of the big hats.
Well,
to
the
go
binder's
in there.
Interesting. It makes a lot of trips. Like, this tells the story of Wilde and Tausch in a lot of respects.
Did we ever find that cup that was stolen?
Oh,
from
the
you?
Tumbler. No. The tumbler should
what
go in
the
there.
What about the chewed on pencils? And is it too late to get the Hansel and Gretel poster?
That should be in back. There. Yep.
That's a tough day.
We'll have to check the Tundra Trio. As Joshy points out on the private talk and text line, the mug, right? Our mug that we gave away for a while.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Tausch's bag of hats that we weren't able to give away.
We need a big. Yep. We had a bag.
Put
bag
those in the TV back.
Put those in the gift shop at the Hall of Fame.
The real question is, who do we get on the mug from this year that will be cut very closely after? Because everybody that comes on and is mugged up is gone. Other than Rodgers, it took 5 or 6 years,
it's true.
Everybody, I know the course runs. But City, boom. TJ, boom. Mike, boom.
Yep, you're right. The mug kiss of death.
Randall Cobb, maybe it wasn't long, and he was.
I don't think he's on a mug. I'll have to double check.
He's not a mug, but he could have been.
Ian in East Troy says, this is starting to turn into the Wilde and Tausch lost and found closet.
Well, some might say it's an archaic relic that people would be interested in. Some would say it's the junk drawer. Either way.
The wire hangers?
Those have already been sold. I've got some new ones, though, that I need. Kid size hangers that we don't use anymore. What we do use is Associated
Bank. Why do you have so many hangers?
Well, it's our very successful Poshmark business, of course. Gotta hang that stuff up.
Where are you getting the extra? If you sell all of them, you shouldn't have a surplus.
Well, you don't. You don't.
Do you get?
You
did you go from?
You don't ship the hanger
to putting them
to
in drawers.
Them. No, if you sell a shirt, you take it off the hanger, you fold it up, you put it in an envelope, and then you ship it off to the buyer. You keep the hanger.
Okay,
now you got an empty hanger.
Put the hanger in one of your kids' closets or whatnot. They're gonna add more clothes. Then you don't have to go buy a new hanger.
Right, but the girls have all outgrown the small hangers, so that's what we have now are the kid-size hangers. Like, Eleanor doesn't need a tiny little hanger anymore. She wears, like,
I'm sorry,
teenager
your
clothes.
Kids have just rocketed up and went immediately from kids' hangers to monster hangers in
Not
a week.
Immediately.
Like, come on, dude.
I've been derelict in my hanger selling duties. I haven't gotten them listed. They've been out of circulation for a while. All right, I need to tell you about Associated Bank because that's much more important than about my hangers. But when I do get money from my Facebook Marketplace buyers and I get cash, where do I go? I go to Associated Bank to deposit it. I can also take pictures of my checks and deposit them through the app because we've got that technology, Jesse. All that matters is we've got the great customer service that is always a signature of Associated Bank. So whether you want early pay, credit monitoring, fraud protection, Packers checking, Brewers checking, Badgers checking, all of that falls under the same umbrella, and that's great customer service. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Wodelli is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse had all kinds of things planned for Wonelli, but I'm kind of curious if the Carbless Talk and Text Line has any further suggestions for artifacts for the Wilde and Tausch Hall of Fame Museum.
Oh, there are.
Well, let's find out during Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Wonelli!
On Wilde and Tausch.
Eric in Green Bay, the title town brick football from the field goal challenge.
Yeah.
Needs to be in there.
It's hard to watch.
And it was all because of the ball being overinflated. It wasn't Jesse's skill.
Matt in West Bend, CC Sabathia's batting practice pants.
Yeah. Those are staying in my collection. That's not a Hall of Fame collection.
Multiple people, including Matt in Superior, saying Dunzo the Clown needs to make an appearance in the Hall of Fame. He is sitting in a drawer right now. Waiting to come back out when the time is right, but the time is not right.
For Pat Murphy.
Geriad, protein muffins need to be served as appetizers in the Wilde and Tausch Hall of Fame snack room.
Good news, we still have some, so that's good.
Tucker and Wausau, do you retire a Tony Cartagena producer microphone as the OG producer?
That's another really good question.
Whoa, Nelly!
Keep them coming. We, Tausch, let's plan your schedule. Want to help you here. We have kickoff times announced for the Wisconsin Badgers' first three football games of the 2025 season. Let's see how these fit in the Tausch collection here. So Thursday night, we knew it would be Thursday night, August 28th. The opener at Camp Randall Stadium hosting Miami, Ohio. 8 o'clock kickoff.
on Thursday night on the Big Ten Network. 8 p.m. Thursday night.
That's awesome. Couldn't be happier with that. A whole Labor Day weekend to do whatever my little heart desires. So, yeah, I'm on board with that.
We do have a show the next morning.
Ooh. Okay. I'll probably
hey, Brian Belaga, what are you doing that day?
The following Saturday, Middle Tennessee State comes to town. Rivalry game. September 6th, Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. kickoff for that one.
I can live with that. As long as it's not another night game, I would prefer... I'm selfish. I prefer an 11, but I also understand people want a tailgate and a 3 o'clock tip. I'm good with that. That'll be all right.
And one of the more anticipated games of recent memory, Wisconsin at Alabama in Tuscaloosa, visiting the Crimson Tide. 11 a.m. on either ABC or ESPN. Not even a big noon game because it's an SEC country.
Not even a Fox game?
Yeah, it's one of our games. ESPN territory there. ABC or ESPN, 11 a.m. kickoff in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I don't love that. Don't love that, but I think anytime you go on the road, you prefer them starting earlier.
Is that true?
Gives you a little bit more.
As a player?
Yeah, I think you don't want to go into like the swamp at 7 p.m. Everybody's all lubed up. I think there's no doubt when you come in and play a night game at Camp Randall, the atmosphere is different than if it's an 11 o'clock
game. That's fair. Yeah.
Like, okay. It just is. So if you're going to be on the road, so selfishly, I would prefer. Actually, you know what? After I factor everything into it, I'm going to talk myself into loving that 11 o'clock tip in Tuscaloosa. Never been to Tuscaloosa. I'm kind of excited. That'll be fun.
The food will make or break the trip. Whoa, Nelly!
Whoa, Nelly!
One other notable thing from the Big Ten press release.
Oh, boy.
This is significant to some.
Brett Bielema, is he involved?
So you may recall last year, Wisconsin and Minnesota played on Black Friday at 11 a.m. at Camp Randall Stadium. Which
yeah,
for,
that was a, that was a,
for some of us, it was a tough turnaround from the Packers game on Thanksgiving night to the 11 a.m. kickoff the next morning.
It also prevented the annual debate on our show about whether or not we were doing a Black Friday show.
It did prevent that, yes. Well, we can have that debate again this year because Iowa-Nebraska has the 11 a.m. CBS Black Friday game and Indiana-Purdue is the Black Friday evening game on NBC. So it would appear Wisconsin, Minnesota, although not official, they haven't announced the day or time of that game, but it is tentatively scheduled for Saturday, November 29th, and it appears it will remain that day.
Good news.
I thought we were going to make that a new tradition, playing for the Axe on Black Friday.
I think they should. I'd like that, and I think you put it right on. You know, why not make... You have your three TV partners in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Put it in that sweet spot right in the middle. Have the morning game, if that's going to be Nebraska playing Iowa. Then have Wisconsin, Minnesota. And if you want to get Indiana, Purdue, good luck to you.
The old oaken bucket.
I don't know if that's... Yeah.
Yep.
What about Michigan, Michigan State, or something different?
When you when you think about it, Michigan, Ohio State's always that weekend.
Right.
That takes all of the oxygen on that Saturday anyways. This game is so selfishly, again, I'm looking at this just from my perspective. Saturday's fine because then you can spend Thanksgiving and then fly out on Friday. It'll probably be easier.
And it doesn't prevent your idea of 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, 3 versus 6 on that flex scheduling and not having a conference championship game, which you came up with earlier in the week. Whoa, Nelly!
Whoa, Nelly!
So here's my dilemma. It's 11:51, and every time we have like 30 seconds left, I bring something else up, and then we go dangerously long.
Now you're filibustering.
So I'm not going to do that this time. I'm going to
call it. What was the topic you were going to bring up? Tease it for tomorrow.
Caleb Williams makes it clear he's happy as a Chicago Bears quarterback.
I'm glad we're passing on this.
Whoa, Nelly!
I didn't like it. He was not convincing in my estimation.
You know what I like? The American Family Insurance Championship, and it returns to Madison with two new exciting changes this year. Wisconsin's own Steve Stricker hosts PGA Tour Champions event June 6th through the 8th at its new home course, TPC Wisconsin. The AmFam Champ also debuts a new team competition this year. Two-person teams compete in best ball and scramble formats, the American Family Insurance Championship. June 6th through the 8th. We'll be there on the 6th. Get details and ticket info at AmFam.com or AmFamChampionship.com.
We'll wrap things up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
The NFL has announced its national preseason games. Didn't you do like the Packers radio network for a Hall of Fame game that wasn't played? Am I remembering that correctly? With the painted field in Canton?
I do believe so, yeah. Only pregame to never have a game.
That'll be the Chargers and the Lions. We already knew that. The other national games, Bills, Bears, Bengals, Commanders, Patriots, Giants, and Vikings, Titans.
Boring.
No Packers.
Enjoy the preseason as you see it because it will be up, bye-bye with the next CPA.
Completely. Zero preseason games.
I'm not going to say completely, but if the league gets its way, yes.
They want to keep taking money for those games.
Will we start televising joint practices?
I would think not. I would think not. They're not even letting fans go down to regular first practices of the year. You think they're going to let them start watching joint practices? Yeah. Like, no, I don't think that's happening either.
The joint practices were confirmed yesterday by Matt LaFleur. They will do one in Indianapolis before that preseason game. And then they will do one in Green Bay with the Seattle Seahawks before that preseason game. That's it for us today. Still plenty to get to from our conversations yesterday. We'll get to that tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.